It was only 6 days ago that as Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, I stood before you to announce sweeping moves to counter the threat the coronavirus presents to our people. We have closed schools, sports facilities, cinemas and theatres. The government has closed shops, pubs, restaurants and our borders. Our way of life has been put on hold for 21 days while we support our NHS to help us. I'm eternally grateful to all those staff who have stepped up to the challenge we face as a nation. To the cleaners, the catering staff, the caretakers, support staff, and teachers of our schools and university. They have supported each other, their pupils, and families during a period of uncertainty and concern. The doors of 9 primary schools and all 5 secondary schools have been left open for vulnerable children and the children of key workers. Teachers have joined with other frontline staff to ensure our doctors, nurses, police officers and firefighters can still do their job. Every child who can be safely at home should be at home. Parents have responded to this call. This week, only 4% of primary school pupils and less than 1% of secondary school pupils have needed to go to school. Teachers are working from home to support those pupils at home. All exams have been cancelled. We have been working with the exam boards to ensure that the present disruption does not damage the young people's educational future. Teachers have been reducing the risk to themselves and their pupils by making social distancing a game for young children. It is this imagination and creativity which shows the profession at its best. One of our head teachers wrote to me this morning and said, "Whilst none of us would have chosen to be in this situation, it has provided us with an opportunity to rethink why and how we do a number of things in schools already, which will be beneficial even when all of this is over." Indeed, although the coronavirus is probably the most frightening and challenging thing the island has ever faced, my overwhelming sense at the end of this week is one of optimism and hope. Our sense of togetherness, the generosity of spirit that has been shared, and the camaraderie we have in the schools and in our community are palpable. To support our key workers and emergency services, teachers have volunteered to keep those schools open during the Easter period. It is by working together that we will overcome the threat this virus presents. Tragically, we have already seen the death of a teenager across and recognise this is a threat to all of us. With a sunny weekend, young people may be tempted to go out and have fun. Please stay at home. For your sake and the health of your families and friends, please stay at home. Please don't be the one to infect others or take a hospital bed from one of your grandparents. By staying at home for 21 days, it has its challenges and it can be lonely. There is a new supportive world developing on the internet, and through social media, we can help each other get through this together. Young people on this island are posting advice on how to exercise at home, how to keep occupied, and how to challenge themselves. Our children should have been waking up on Monday, looking forward to their last week of term and the Easter holidays. This year will be different. This year, they're being asked to stay at home and be part of Team Isle of Man to protect themselves, their friends, and family, so we can come through this time for our island stronger and more united than ever. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions from the journalists. Could I start off with Rob Pritchard from 3FM?
Good afternoon, Alex. I hope you're well.
Very well, thank you.
First question, regarding the initial comments you made 6 days ago when you joined these conferences. You mentioned that provisions are being made to offer more educational tools online, and you also said that the discussions were taking place, as you just said there, with the exam boards to try and secure grades for the students. I just wondered, with both of those, where do we stand right now?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. What we've been doing in terms of online resources is a lot of teachers who haven't needed to go into school have been working from home. Even those who have been self-isolating have been working from home to support their pupils. And I think what we've seen is a different variety of things being offered, either through telephone, through various platforms that they were using already, through using Google, and so allowing that education to carry on and giving that advice to people and their families. In terms of the exams, there was a lot of flux in it because we used various exam boards both in the United Kingdom, internationally, Wales and Scotland. And at the beginning, we were getting mixed messages from them. At the moment, we know that all GCSEs, all A-levels have been cancelled, and they are now giving advice to teachers on how to use previous coursework, previous predicted grades to award those pupils the grades that they need to progress. We're also at the moment working with University College Isle of Man at some of the BTEC courses, some of the practical courses, to make sure that their education isn't interrupted. And for any pupils who are at University College Isle of Man, if you go onto their website, that's being updated daily as we get more information about those exams. I think it's very important that during this time of crisis and concern, we reassure pupils that whilst it's horrible to go through what they're doing at the moment, they will then be able to progress either to sixth form, to careers, or to university in the future. And we as a department will do everything to allow that and to help them through this time.
Thank you. And my second question is more specifically with regards to university students. Now, the students and their parents, with obviously, as we know, in these unprecedented times, are facing a lot of different questions and potential obstacles when it comes to the things such as maintenance grants, student loans, and other forms of maybe bursaries and awards that we don't know necessarily in this sort of situation, how they're going to be awarded, how applications are made. I know that the responsibility tends to rest with the likes of universities and colleges to offer some of that information, but what support and guidance is the government giving to those students and parents on how to manage that going forward?
Again, very, very good question. What we're saying to those students who were thinking of going to university for the first time in September, carry on your applications, carry on as usual, carry on building up that coursework, carry on your studies. We will be working very closely with the universities to make sure that anyone on the Isle of Man who wants to go across is treated on a level playing field with their UK colleagues and ensure that. At the moment, some of the universities are being far more flexible in the grades they're asking because they understand the pressures that the students over here and in the UK are having. So it is a bit of a change. Again, in terms of tuition fees and student loans, the department will be flexible about these. We're going to need to, so we can allow all those pupils on the Isle of Man to actually fulfil their real true potential as they go into university education. We've also got the situation with a lot of students who have been across and have come back for what they thought was an Easter holiday, just to be told that everything's been cancelled from now on. Again, some universities are staying open, some universities are giving rebates in terms of accommodation, and that will change. And so what we're quite happy to do is work with those students to figure out the best thing for them. Also offer things like pastoral care and library services that may be available so that they can keep occupied as well. And for those who want to volunteer, again, giving them a route for that so that they don't feel hopeless and stranded here away from their friends and away from their colleagues at university.
Thank you very much.
If I could go on to Paul Moulton of MTTV.
Dr. Allison, hello there. We had reports of problems in schools with self-isolation, not enough teachers, too many children, and obviously that's a hotbed for passing germs on. Yeah. Has that improved over the last few days, or are you addressing it?
Yeah, I thank you very much, Paul. Obviously there's a lot of concern, both from parents, pupils and the teaching professions and all the teaching staff about keeping schools safe. We've, as in the UK, have prioritised protecting our NHS so it can protect us. And for that, some of those key workers need schools to look after their children during the day. The figures from schools have been actually very low. Only 4% of primary school children have needed to go to school. And that's been changing day by day as various people are doing shifts, as various people are finding other ways of looking after their children at home. So we're adapting to that. We're also working with those teachers and talking to some of the primary school teachers. They've come up with imaginative ways of trying to have social separation. They've made it a game for their kids. They've been taking them out with the good weather and doing things outdoors. So they've been trying to reduce the risk as much as possible. And by trying to consolidate in terms of the hubs, we've also been working to make sure that they're cleaned properly, to make sure that they're kept as healthy as possible. But it is something we'll continually review to make sure that those children are safe, but the teachers are as well, as we go through this 21-day period.
And also, can I ask you, with your doctor's hat on, really, I suppose, the self thing on the website saying, have you got this or that? It only has temperature and a dry cough. Lots of people saying they're having headaches, yeah, and that sort of thing. So if you follow that routing, yes, no, you don't get to get a test or get to 111. Yeah. And with your doctor's hat on, do you believe that's a bit limiting, that people have got other symptoms that aren't being caught early enough, maybe, to help yeah. get a test?
Again, that's a very good question, Paul. One of the problems we have with viral illnesses is they can be different for different people. All of us individually would have had a flu or a bad cold in the past, and some people it's sore throat, for some people it's a runny nose. What the 111 service has been doing is looking at the key symptoms, which are mainly dry cough, high fever. But we know that there are things like diarrhea, there are things like headaches, there are things like abdominal pain, which can complicate that. And obviously what we don't want to do as clinicians is miss out those people who might have something completely different. They might have appendicitis, they might have meningitis, they might have all sorts of other diseases. So that's why the 111 service is crucial, that it triages people, and those people who need medical advice talk straight to a clinician. And that's what's being provided on the Isle of Man at really very short notice, manned very well by some experienced doctors to give that advice, to try to figure out exactly who could be at risk of coronavirus and who might have other symptoms that actually they need to be seen at A&E or by their GP. If I could come on to Tim Glover from Manx Radio.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Allenson.
Hello.
Education first. Have you had any abuse yet of the schools that are open, obviously for vital or essential workers, but have you had any cases, we've heard a few, that people are just trying to use them as a childcare facility?
Yeah, I think, Tim, that was certainly something that happened in the United Kingdom, that there were arguments at the school gates about who is a key worker, who isn't. Actually, the overwhelming experience of teachers on the Isle of Man is that they've put their trust in parents, and that trust has been repaid. We haven't seen the same issues. I think people are dealing with it extremely responsibly. That's one of the issues we've had in terms of numbers, because parents, when they don't have to take their children to school, haven't. And so sometimes schools are seeing people 3 days a week when they know that those parents are having to work in our essential services. But then when they can keep them at home, they will. And that's the message, really, that the safest place for that child is at home. But if we have essential services that need to be provided, our school doors are open to take those children in as and when is necessary.
And if you could just switch hats to the doctor role, yep. We've heard a great deal in recent days about antibody tests.
Yep.
Are the plans to have those available here? If so, when? As well as rapidly increasing testing of the COVID-19. So we've heard of some healthcare workers who are isolating. And if they had a test, obviously they could be back. So yep. A couple of questions in one, if I may.
No, and that's very, very topical. What we saw in China and Southeast Asia was a rapid development of near-patient testing, which could tell you very, very quickly whether somebody had coronavirus or not, very accurately. Unfortunately, the United Kingdom hasn't had that. They are developing it. They've announced that they're going to have it this weekend. We will cotton on to that. We will get those tests as soon as we can. But also we've had the laboratories in Nobles actually devising their own tests, because you're quite right. Nobody, whether they be a teacher or a healthcare worker, wants to infect the people they're trying to help. And so if we can rapidly test them and either exclude them so that they're not going to harm people and they're going to look after themselves, or actually say, no, it's not coronavirus, it's another virus, you can continue to work. That builds up capacity. Because at the moment we have got people needing to self-isolate. They're well, but a family member isn't. And so we need to get that testing. We also need to get that testing in terms of reassuring those people in the community who may be having symptoms, and making sure that those people with the coronavirus, if they do deteriorate, they know straight away to get back in contact with us to get the help they need.
Thank you.
I think the next person on my list is Alex Bell from BBC.
Thank you, Dr. Allenson. Just to drill into some of those numbers which you took us through before, did you say, just to clarify, around 4% of primary school children are still attending?
That's correct. I'll just look at the figures, because they've been sending through to me. Normally in primary schools we have 6,314 on the roll, and on Tuesday, the first day that this was brought in, 259 turned up that needed to be looked for. Similarly, in secondary schools we have 5,280 on the roll, and on Tuesday 40 turned up. And that's been varying, but it's around about those figures. So 4% of primary school children, which sort of makes sense, and less than 1% of secondary school children. What we're trying to do with those people is meet their individual needs. And so the schools have been extremely good and creative in terms of where we've been bringing children in from different schools to keep them apart, keep them in their friendship groups, even keep them in their family groups if possible, to try to stop any spread. It's also incredibly important that if your child is ill, don't go to school. Keep them at home. If you can keep your child at home, keep them at home. These schools are being used really almost like an emergency service. And we are looking at teachers and all the support staff being frontline staff now in a concerted effort to fight this virus.
Just to add to that then, how many frontline staff are still working in schools?
We've got quite a few of our teachers still working in schools. They are organising themselves into various shifts, so one week on, one week off, to limit the exposure. And again, a lot of those teachers are still working from home. We've also been consolidating some of the support staff. To run a school, you need caretakers, you need cleaners, you need the people who cook the food and serve the meals. So we've been making sure that they're kept well. We've been making sure that if they go off through self-isolation or illness, we can bring other staff in from other areas around the department, around government, to fulfil that role and keep those schools open.
Okay, do we have an idea on numbers though?
From what I know from the last set of numbers, around about 25% of the teaching staff were off on self-isolation. And we've had episodes where, you know, that's involved head teachers who have been clinically unwell, really bad coughs, or feeling unwell with coronavirus symptoms. They've been self-isolating, but they've carried on supporting their staff, they've carried on supporting their colleagues, they've carried on supporting their pupils from home. And I've got greatest admiration for them because everyone has really stepped up to the mark.
Thank you, Doctor. That covers it for me today.
I've got Sam Turton from Arloman Newspapers.
Good afternoon, Dr. Allenson.
Good afternoon.
Just to check on, earlier in the week we said that children who received free school meals are still being looked after. Can we just have a bit more detail on how that's happening both inside and outside the schools?
Yes, and that, again, very good question. One of the things we really wanted to do was look after those children in our community who rely on free school meals. The initial way of doing that we've been running for this week is by asking them to come to some of the secondary schools to work as hubs so they could pick up the meals from there. But we have found that that's not been the best way of providing those meals in certain areas around the island. So what we're now doing is working with some of the local teachers who know their communities, who know their pupils, to think of other ways we can distribute the school meals so that those children get what they need in a way that's acceptable for them. Because we have had issues with people feeling a bit embarrassed to go and collect a free school meal when nobody else is going into the school. So we need to work with teachers to find the best way of doing that, but really being committed to providing those free school meals, both now, but also over the Easter holidays as well, which unfortunately aren't going to be a holiday for anyone on this island, unfortunately, this year, to make sure that those children are safe, make sure that they're fed.
And secondly, it's just something yesterday in Timwald, that feels weird saying that, sorry. Yesterday in Timwald, Mr. Cannon said that within after 21 days and the days and weeks after that, he was hoping to be able to get the economy going slowly and steadily. Yep. Is that something that could happen for schools as well? They'll be looking at in the next 21 to 28 days, sort of thing.
I really hope so. This is such a quick changing environment that we're living in. What we're trying to do is maintain that sustainability. We're trying to make sure that when the schools get the green light to reopen, they're all ready. They're all ready to go. So although they've been mothballed, although we've been moving staff around, those schools are still operational. They're still going to be clean. So I hope in the near future, when we can start opening things up again, education will be a key part of that.
Nina Johnson.
Okay. While I'm here, are there any other questions from any of you on a Saturday at lunchtime?
Could I just Paul? Ask a general one? Is it Doctor, I was filming the down at the seaport the other day with the last boat coming in, and the police there wearing the masks. We've been constantly told we don't have any benefits from wearing the masks.
Yes.
But if they're wearing the mask, then let me, with your doctor's hat on, yeah, is there any benefit?
Whilst I'd never criticise the police force openly, because they know where I live, actually there's no medical reason to wear a mask unless you are treating somebody with coronavirus. So what we're trying to do on the Isle of Man is save those masks, save those visors, save PPE. Nobody ever knew what PPE meant until this week. Save that personal protection for those people who really need it. And it's essential that we prioritise those care workers at Nobles who are dealing with patients. If you're dealing with the general public, you don't need to wear a face mask. But I've seen, even going out shopping and standing in orderly queues, that people are wearing it. And that's to do with being frightened and trying to do as much as possible to protect themselves and their families. And I can't disagree with that. Tim, I think you wanted to ask another question.
Yeah, if I could. Yeah, we just had an email that's come in. It was to do with concerned member of staff. It's to do with sort of support staff. Yep. Presumably you've got cleaners, support staff, as well as teachers, yep, in. And they're just obviously very concerned about their health and safety. So what, yep, reassurance can you offer?
Yeah, I think all of us are concerned about the health and safety of the people who work in our schools, our hospitals, and throughout our public services. What I'd say to them is we have been trying to adapt to this challenge. As I said, it's only 6 days ago I stood up and said we were closing all schools. It's been that rapid. And the last week to me has felt like a month with the way things have been progressing. What we've been trying to do with the schools is consolidate the staff and also consolidate all the supplies. We know that there have been issues with alcohol-based hand gels, not only on the island but around the UK. So we're trying to work with some of the producers to source that, but trying to make sure that those cleaners get all the resources they need to clean the schools. And if anyone does have any particular problems, if they could feed that into the department, we will do as much as possible, because teachers and pupils can't safely go into dirty schools. We need to try to minimise any risks involved with turning up, so we can keep those pupils and teachers well, but also their families.
It's also about social distancing, yep, I think, just reading the full email. I mean, that's, yep, difficult, isn't it, in a school environment?
It's a real challenge in a school environment. It's been a real challenge for our nurseries. And again, it's just trying to minimise that risk through basic hygiene, having the cleaning facilities available, but also by being aware of those risks and making sure that those children who might be coming down with something don't turn up at the front door in the first place.
Thank you.
So if there's no other question... Oh, sorry, one more question from Sam.
It literally actually just come through to me as we've been talking. Yep. But a university student here said normally during the summer they would work and they use that to supplement their rent at university. Is the department at all considering providing extra assistance for next year, given what may be a completely different set of circumstances for students who, yep, normally would work during the summer on the island to have better money for when they go back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, within a week, the way we live, our world has changed on the Isle of Man. It's a temporary change, and I hope that we can get over this by the summer. But you're quite right, a lot of students, when they're returning to home, they rely on jobs just to keep themselves busy, but also to earn money for when they go back to university. We will need to look at that as this period develops. When we've got 21 days lockdown, as we gradually develop from there, if there are those students who are disadvantaged, we will need to make sure that they can return to university, make sure that they can pay their bills, and make sure that they can actually get back to a normal standard of living as soon as possible once we return to normal.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to thank you all very much for your questions. And as I said, the department is really keen on working with teachers, with pupils, with families to get through this. And together we can. Thank you very much and good afternoon. Thank you.
The global pandemic of coronavirus is without doubt the gravest threat we have faced both as an island and as a nation.
We are working hard to help our island as a community, but we are asking you to help us to help you.
For your island, for your community, stay at home.
For your island, for your community, stay at home.
For your island, for your community, stay at home.
Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Please stay at home.
Protect your community. Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Please stay at home.
Stay at home.
For your island, for your community, stay at home.